Okay, well, let's go ahead and get the ball rolling here, because what we're going to do is we're going to start off like we did last week. Brother Robert, can you go ahead and it's stuck on mine. Okay, this is where we started last week. Okay, this is one of the most difficult ones, because in the Christian world, speaking in tongues, we said last week, speaking in foreign languages was a spiritual gift that God gave to the early church after Jesus' death and resurrection to help the church of Jesus get off the launching pad. Now, there were a lot of gifts back then, and I talked to you about these last week. The gift of miracles, human beings being able to work miracles. The gift of speaking in foreign languages. The gift of interpreting what somebody else is saying in a foreign language. By the way, these gifts came on people that didn't know the foreign language, and these gifts came on people that didn't know how to interpret it until God allowed that to happen. And so they're very amazing gifts. The gift of healings, for a human being to be able to go and to, at their own will, at their own desire, they could heal a person just like Jesus and the apostles did. Now again, not saying that God doesn't work miracles today. We're not saying that God doesn't heal people today. But what we are saying is that these gifts that God gave, these supernatural gifts, those gifts were given for a certain amount of time. And then once the rocket got off the launch pad, those fuel tanks of these supernatural gifts, they fell away because the church was flying high for God. But again, when you read your Bibles, it's obvious, the book of Acts. It's obvious that something was happening at that time that's far different than what's happening today. And again, I'm not just saying people's spiritual interests, because people have always been people. But when you've got hundreds and thousands of people coming to the Lord simultaneously and things like that, obviously that's very, very unusual. And so God was in that, and God is still working through our gifting, but he's not doing it like he originally did. Tongues is one of these. Now, by the way, we got good brothers and sisters in Christ that still believe this gift is being given, and we're going to talk about that, okay? Because they're our dear brothers and sisters, and we don't put them down for believing that. We might believe a little bit differently, but we still have love one for another, okay? We always, always, that should be primary. Okay, so let's review real quick. Number one, week one, the overview of the spiritual gifts. Okay, that's what we did a few weeks back. We went and talked about spiritual gifts themselves, that it's something that God gives to every single person the moment they get saved. You get one. The apostles had all of them back in the early church. You and I get one gifting. And we don't even know about spiritual gifts, and we don't know what gift we are given, but suddenly we begin to realize, hey, there's a certain thing in life that I love doing. I love to do this, and it just seems like God's gifted me. Well, he has. He's given you, and in that little spiritual gift observation, we have the gifts listed there, and we're going to do those in two Sundays. We're going to go through each gift. Right now, we're concentrating on these technical ones, on these more difficult ones. So first we did the overview, and hey, Robert, do I have control, or do you? Oh, okay, no problem, then I'll just let you roll, because it's not that difficult, it's very straightforward. Okay, then week two, the gift of apostleship. Okay, the apostles, we talked about originally there were 12 with Jesus, and then three more became apostles, Paul the apostle, Barnabas the apostle, and James. And then Matthias replaced Judas Iscariot. So there were a total of about 15 we don't know of anymore. Obviously, this was a gift in the early church. The Bible tells us that. It was the foundation of the church. The prophets and the apostles were the foundation. You don't keep building a foundation for 2,000 years, adding more to the foundation. No, the foundation was laid. Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the foundation. And you and I are living stones. We are stones. We are bricks. But we're alive. We're alive. We're living stones being built up a spiritual house for God's glory. Every time a person gets saved, God the Spirit puts a new brick in that wall, and guess what, everybody? That beautiful edifice, that beautiful building that God Almighty's been building for 2,000 years, one day, Jesus will return in the sky. He'll take his people off the earth because the building will be complete. He'll say, my bride, my church, my body is full. It's complete. And then he's going to bring the tribulation period on planet Earth, 7 years, and then he's going to come down to earth. First time he comes in the clouds at the rapture, and then he continues on 7 years later to earth, and he touches the Mount of Olives, the Bible says, and he takes over the governing of the entire earth, the entire world. Jesus will rule, and hopefully, you know what? I'm trying to guide, like a drill sergeant, I'm trying to get you all ready so you'll get to rule with him. It's going to be one of the greatest honors and rewards if you love God. And by the way, I've always tried to put this in perspective. This isn't for pastors and missionaries and things like that. Yes, we can rule with Jesus too, but you don't have to be some kind of highfalutin Christian. You can be a butcher, a baker, or a license plate maker. I mean, a butcher, okay. Anyway, you can be, maybe if you're making license plates, maybe you won't, but hopefully you'll come around there. But the idea is, everybody, Jesus is very fair. And if you've used your gifting to his glory and honor, you will reign and rule with him. Women, men, all people that will honor him can rule. It's not just for some elite group. Oh, man, those are the people, the guy that's always up there talking. Oh, no. He's going to look at your life and he's going to say, hey, I gave you this much talent, this much ability, and if you did well with it, you'll rule with me. Wow, what a great. And I just try to tell people that because you know why, everybody? That keeps me and that keeps you going for God. The Bible says in Hebrews that Moses looked to the reward. He, looking unto Jesus, he looked to the reward. He just said, I'm through with Egypt, the old life. I'm looking to Jesus. And man, he kept that before him. He said, there's a reward to be had if I glorify God. Okay, week three, we talked about the gift of prophecy, of course. And the gift of prophecy is back before people had Bibles in their hands, where you got God's complete word to you. They didn't have that. And so in those early churches, a lot of those churches, they needed input from God because there was a lot of problems. There was a lot of evil. There was a lot. These people were getting saved. But listen, just because you get saved doesn't mean you get victory over sin that very day. Man, they're bringing in all kinds of baggage. They were worshiping idols, worshiping demons, and all kinds of things. And they come into the church. Well, some people became prophets, men and women. Men and women, and they were able to receive messages directly from God and share those with others at the appropriate time in the appropriate place. Okay? So, that was the first 3 weeks, and starting last Sunday, we started this idea of speaking in tongues. Now, we did the first eight. The first eight. Can I just go through those and say, like, say 2 minutes. Can I do it in 2 minutes? Okay, Robert, next slide. Okay, all of us have gotten a spiritual gift so we could be a blessing to others. Number two, what spiritual gift we get is the Holy Spirit's decision. He decides the day we come to Jesus what gift we'll get. Number three, certain gifts, apostleship, those gifts in the early church, prophecy, teaching, certain gifts are more important in the successful functioning of the church than others. Now, of course, apostleship is no longer being given. Prophecy is no longer being given. So, the most important gift for local churches now are the teacher gifts. And so, we can pray to God. We can say, hey, Lord, we're a little bit short on teachers. Would you send teachers to Ridge Point Fellowship? The Holy Spirit gives the gift. The Lord Jesus is the one that divvies up the gifted people in the different areas where they're needed. Okay? Next slide. God did not intend for all of the Corinthian believers, when this book was written, he didn't intend for all of them to speak in tongues any more than he intended for all believers to teach, heal, or administrate. That would just be overwhelming. I mean, those apostles had special grace from God because they needed all the... They're trying to get the church off the launching pad. They're traveling continually. They're leaving behind family and friends and going, and they're getting persecuted, and man, they needed extra grace, so God gave them extra gifting to help. But you know what? God doesn't expect you to have talent in all these different areas. He gives you one gift. So this summer, we're trying to make sure you all know that gift, and you invest it. And you invest it. Okay, number five. Every local church is to earnestly desire the best gifts. That doesn't mean every Christian is, because you only get one and God decides. It means that every church can say, Lord, we could sure use more administrators. We could sure use more teachers. We could sure use more servants. We can sure use more helpers. Those are all gifted people, and the Lord will hear our prayers and send them our way because we might be a little bit deficient. All right, number six. As important as it is to desire the best gifts, believers are to desire having the love of Christ even more. Man, as wonderful it is to have the kind of people you need in the local church so it'll thrive, thank God that loving one another, something we could all do with God's grace, thankfully, that's something that we're to desire even more. He says, listen, if you have gifts, if you could speak every language, if you could speak the language of angels and you don't have love, he said, it sounds like a pagan worship service. Gong, gong, gong. It's just, that's not music. That's just monotony. Okay? And guess what? Our Christian lives will be a monotony if we just focus on, you know, the Corinthian church, they were babies. They were juvenile. They weren't mature. And so they were going around and flaunting, oh, I can speak in foreign languages. Oh, I have the gift of prophecy. God gives me divine messages directly. Oh, I have, and you know what? I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter. You get the idea. They were very juvenile. And God says, listen, if you all don't learn to get along, you know what your worship sounds to me like? Bong. Sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. That's the pagan worship services. Monotonous. Hear us, O Baal! Hear us, O Baal! Hear. Those guys repeated that all day long. Hear us, O Baal! Hear us. How monotonous. How much better is worship when we play musical instruments and we sing understandable stanzas of songs and glorify God with joy? How much more beautiful must that sound, especially if we have love for one another? God really loves that. Okay, number seven. However, okay, we were talking about love. We should love one another. However, though believers are to pursue the goal of loving one another, it must not be at the expense of neglecting spiritual gifts. Don't say, hey, Jesus said, most important thing, love God, love one another. Spiritual gifts don't matter. No, no, no. They matter. Not as much as love, but they matter. And that's why I keep telling you, if you don't know what your gift is, and this summer you can learn what your gift is, when you stand before God one day at the judgment seat of Christ, this isn't talking about heaven and hell, you're going to stand there and he's going to say, okay, I gave you this spiritual gift. Did you invest it well for me? Oh, Lord, I didn't know I had a spiritual gift. Oh, yeah, well, your pastor talked about it a whole summer. No, I don't want that to happen to you, because you're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to say, I want to see how much you gained for my kingdom's sake. I want to see how much you've gained. Okay. All right. Number eight. In church, the gift of prophecy, and they're going, this is talking about the early church. We could probably put now the word teaching in there. So let's do that. In the church, the gift of teaching is greater than the gift of speaking in foreign languages. Now, let me ask you before, because it edifies, Let me ask you this. Why would the gift of teaching be greater than the gift of being able to speak a foreign language to people that were sitting around you in your little house church back in those days? What? Oh, yeah, because guess what? She said teaching edifies. People understand when you're just teaching. But what would happen if I got up here and I started talking in, like, my mom spoke fluent Croatian. Dobro dačko. Dobro, dobro, babi, babi, dobro, babi. I can remember my grandpa. I learned two words because he'd tell me, good boy, Bobby. And he'd say, dobro, dačko, something like that. I can't remember exactly how it said. But, I mean, that was a weird language. And if I got up here and started talking in Croatian, you'd be out there going, I might as well get up here and talk like Charlie Brown's teacher. Okay, it's the same thing. Wop, 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 wop. Okay, that's not going to profit you anything, and you'll just walk out. You'll just say, hey, this is crazy, you know. Hey, and by the way, I can relate to that because I stood right there when we were having a service when the Burmese church was meeting here, and I stood right there next to their deacon chairman, the head of their deacon board, because he would translate it a little bit to me, and a woman got up, and I told you about her. She started praying for the offering. And you know what? I thought she was going to pray, you know, like we do, you know, for like a minute, 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. She prayed for 25 minutes. 25 minutes for the offering. And those services were long. They were like 3 hours long. But she got up there and she was like, and man, by the time she was done, she was soaked with sweat. Man, I would have just taken her and put her in a cab and got her a shower, man, because man, I mean, she was going crazy. And I was, man, I was just sitting there. I think I fell asleep for like 20 minutes standing up, man. I was sitting there like, Stanley, hold on to me. Okay. But because you know why it didn't do me any good? She was speaking in Chin. And there's only two words in Chin I know, three. Hallelujah. That's the same in every language. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And Pastor Bob. Pastor Bob. Okay. You know, I'd perk up. Oh, I'm awake. I'm awake. I'm awake. You know, it's really tough because I'm sitting up here on the platform. I always tried to sit down there, but they always wanted to honor the pastor. Oh, come up. Sit up here. I don't want to sit up there because the guy's telling a joke. I don't know whether to laugh or not because he might be saying something bad about somebody. Oh, okay. I'm not supposed to laugh there. Okay. Okay. Sorry. But you get the idea. If teaching is better than speaking in a foreign language. Okay, now, this is where we pick up with number 9. Let me get in my notes where I'm supposed to be now. I'm sitting here flying off the PowerPoint. Okay, now again, hey everybody, 1 Corinthians 14 is tough. Okay, it's not easy. I'm going to ask you to put your spiritual thinking caps on. You know what? I'm thankful that I don't have to come every Sunday and give you an ice cream cone with a cherry on top, that I don't have to give you, like, the easiest thing, because sometimes Scripture at times is harder than others. When I say you are the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world, that's easy. But then when you turn to 1 Corinthians, and you know why I gave you those booklets? I want you to be able to have them in your Bible. So one day when you want to read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 a little more carefully, you can always go to your booklet and say, oh, yes, I remember Pastor Bob talking, because this is tough stuff. So thankfully, the rest of the summer, it's not going to be anywhere near this. It'll be much better and much easier to soak in. But let's just walk through this together, okay? We'll be done by lunchtime, and we'll go home. But this is tough, so I'm just telling you up front, okay? Sometimes the apostles of Jesus, when he spoke, they were all talking to one another. Why are they talking to one another? Because they didn't understand a word he said. And they're like, Lord... And you read about it in the Gospels. They're like, hey, Lord, can you fill us in on what you were saying there, you know? And often, of course, he spoke in parables. Okay, number nine. Tongues, foreign languages, are not profitable for people who don't understand what's being said. This is exactly what we've been saying. And the Corinthians were really flaunting the fact that they could speak in foreign languages, and Paul's telling them here, now, brethren, Now, brethren, 1 Corinthians 14:6, if I come to you, he wasn't with them personally, if I come to you and I'm speaking, and when I say tongues, it's foreign languages, if I come to you and I start speaking to you in foreign languages, what shall I profit you? Unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching. How am I going to profit you speaking in a foreign language if it doesn't get interpreted? If I don't interpret it? Or, now apparently, it seems like whoever was saying the foreign language, like somehow in their inner person they could understand it, but they couldn't articulate it. Isn't that interesting? They knew what they were saying inwardly, but they needed somebody to interpret. And of course, since he had all of the gifts, he had both speaking in tongues, speaking in foreign languages, and the interpretation of them. He could do it on the fly. But, and we're going to get to why God gave these tongues. We're going to get to it today's lesson, okay? And I talked to you about it last week a little bit, but tongues aren't profitable. Foreign languages. And you know what? Again, this gift is not in existence today, but I just want you to make you aware of what was going on in that church. Those people, they were juvenile, they were immature, and they were flaunting these fancy gifts, saying, I'm better than you are. Now, is that loving? That's not loving. You're one-upping the person next to you. I'm of Paul, and I have the gift of prophecy. You know, they were just not doing well spiritually. So Paul's telling them how they need to regulate this. We need to regulate it. The Holy Spirit's given these gifts, but they need regulation. Okay, number 10. Oh, I'm sorry. We're continuing reading here. Oh, yeah, we're reading down to verse 12. Even things without life. Now what he's doing, he's illustrating the point he just made. Even things without life. Okay, what doesn't have life? A flute doesn't have life, and a harp doesn't have life. Even things like that, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, if they don't have more than one note, you know, would you want to go to a concert like by Herb Alpert? Herb Alpert, I don't think, is alive anymore, but he was a big trumpeter in the 60s and 70s. And that one song, okay. You get it. You older people, remember that song. Okay. If he came to do a concert at Ridgepoint and he was playing one note, bah, bah, for an hour, you get it. You would be like, what's this? Okay, and that's why Paul says, listen, you need more than one note. You need to have a distinction in sounds. You need to have a melody. You need to have harmony. You need to have different, you know, loud and soft. You get it. If he doesn't do that, if he doesn't make these distinctions and changes, how will it be known what is piped or played? You know, if he's just playing one note, your wife elbows you in the ribs and says, what song is that? It's no song. It's silliness. It's ridiculousness. Verse 8, for if the trumpet, notice this, what did they use trumpets for? They use trumpets just like we use sirens now in our cities. To get to warn people, okay? But if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? Okay, hey, if the air raid siren, instead of going, if instead of doing what you know it should be doing, what if it started going, you would be like, is there a tornado coming or not? You wouldn't know what was going on, okay? So, hey, Paul's saying, listen, these instruments, we need to know what's coming out of them to enjoy them and to be warned. Okay, next slide. So, likewise, okay, let's bring it back to the gift of foreign languages. Unless you utter by the foreign languages words easy to understand, I think he's talking about here being able to interpret it, obviously, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without importance, significance, importance. Okay, next slide, please. Therefore, if you do not know the meaning of the language, hey, notice there, he didn't put tongues. The New King James translated it language. Therefore, If I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, y'all, you all, since you all are zealous for spiritual gifts, and that's good to be zealous for spiritual gifts, for having gifted people in your congregation, let it be. If you're going to be zealous for spiritual gifts, have the right motive. Let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Don't be wanting spiritual gifts so you can one-up the person sitting next to you. Oh, your gift is just helps. I'm a teacher. I'm smart. And you're not smart. That would be so arrogant. That's so wrong. That shouldn't have any place in God's church. We should all be thankful for all the beautiful, multifaceted, multicolored, all the things God does, where there's neither slave nor free. There's neither Jew nor Gentile in the church. We are all one. Hey, we're in the same body. Let's love each other. Let's take care of one another. Let's do the work of God the way he wants it done. Okay, that's number 9. Paul's point here agrees with the picture in Acts 2 where tongues are a real language. They're not some kind of utterance where a person just babbles. He makes it clear. He says, I don't want you to babble. I don't want to hear an unclear sound coming from a trumpet. I want to hear a real language if you're going to do it. By the way, last week I told you this, and it's so important on an applicational level to apply it to our lives. God will take a Christian who hasn't understood these verses properly any day that's, let's say, they pray in a tongue. I'm using the modern definition of tongue. And they'll do that. They'll pray like that. They have no idea what they're praying. God will take that any day if it's from that person's heart and they're doing it to God's glory. Like I said last week, as opposed to a Christian who will get on their knees to pray and they'll just say, oh, God, bless all the missionaries, bless my family, and Lord, help me to make more money. Amen. Okay. You get it? So a lot of times the people over here that are kind of hypocritical, I understand what the Bible, and they look down on that. Well, hey. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. God sees through our veneer, and he sees inside of us, and that's what God is interested in. Okay, number 10. We got to keep rolling. Paul argues that unless the person speaking or praying in a tongue, praying in this foreign language, can communicate his own understanding of what he is saying, he's not helping the church. Okay? Look at verse 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a foreign language pray that he may interpret. Okay? So he's saying, hey, listen, pray that there's an interpreter there if you're going to speak. Or pray that God will help you to understand it. Paul says, if I pray in a foreign language, my spirit prays inside of me. I know what I'm saying. My inner spirit, my inner persona, it knows what's going up to God. But notice this, my understanding, this is very interesting. This is what I was saying earlier. My understanding is unfruitful. What's Paul saying there? Paul is saying there that, listen, and this is kind of mystical in a sense, but it's kind of like this. Paul says, I can pray with this foreign language, and on the inside I know basically what I'm praying, but I don't know how to articulate it. My understanding is unfruitful. I can't, if somebody said, Paul, what did you just pray? And he'd be like, well, I really can't tell you. It's, okay, you get that idea. Okay, I think that's the kind of idea that they're looking at here. Okay, now, continue on, Robert, next slide. What is the conclusion then, Paul says, to this church that's juvenile, this church that's not getting along? What's the conclusion? I will pray with the Spirit, and that means I'm going to pray on the inside, but I also will pray with the understanding. Next slide. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you can't profit other people, if you can't help them and help them to understand something that they need to know, if you bless with the Spirit, if you bless, if you praise, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed, that means the person that doesn't know really what's going on here, they've stumbled into your church and they are trying to figure out why you're talking in a foreign language, how will the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well. You're doing a great job of giving thanks. But the other is not edified. Next slide. Okay. Oh, Robert, go back one slide. So bottom line, verse 17, it's in that early times when this kind of gifting was happening. And by the way, how do we apply this today? Well, it would be like if you're a teacher. Listen, if I'm teaching and nobody gets it, and it's so, my teaching's so poor or whatever, I've got to try to bring out illustrations, like I've done about talking about the Burmese church and talking about giving examples. You've got to help people to get it. And, you know, sometimes us teachers and preachers, we try, but sometimes we fail miserably. But hopefully most of the time we're doing a halfway decent job. But the important thing is that people get edified. And that's what was wrong with the Corinthian church. People were getting kind of kudos from other people. Wow, you're impressive. But they weren't getting edified. Okay? Okay, number 11. Paul would rather say five words. Oh, I love this. Paul would rather say five words that helped people than to speak 10,000 words in a foreign language. Doesn't that make sense? In other words, that gift was out of control in Corinth, and he says, listen, Corinth, listen, people, I would rather say you are the light of the world. Okay, that's six words. You are the light of the world. How about your? I could make it five. You're the light of the world. Okay, that's a abbreviate or a is that what it's called, abbreviated, when you put, what is it? Contraction. Oh, a contraction. Okay, yeah. You're the light of the world. Okay, thank you very much. Okay. So you get this. Paul would rather say five words that help people than to speak 10,000 words. I thank my God. Now Paul tells the Corinthians, I thank my God I speak in foreign languages more than all of you. You know why? Because Paul was going all over the world talking to people that had different languages. And he had the ability to talk to those people. Wouldn't that be great? Some guy comes up to you, he's a Korean, and you can just start in Korean. Okay? Now, I do have to tell you something. Like, I remember when I used to go to the health club up there in Garland over there by 190. And I'd get on that treadmill, and most of the time I had my headphones on with the Bible going, so I didn't hear anybody, but sometimes I'd forget them, and I'd be on that treadmill, going on the treadmill, and listen, there'd be two people, and they were from Asia somewhere, and they're going 90 to nothing. And I know we don't talk, unless you're from really, from the sticks, we don't talk slow in English either. And they have just the same hard time understanding us as we do them. But man, let me just tell you something. You know, I whenever I was in that circumstance, I was always like ready to go nuts. And so I'm sure the people that were coming through Corinth were too, because they were talking in those foreign languages, and like they're like, oh my goodness. So five words that help than 10,000 words in a foreign language. Okay, next slide, please. First lesson 12. Oh, go back, Robert. Let's read this. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. You get that? When it comes to your brain, don't be a four-year-old. Corinthians, you need to get with the program. You need to start learning some things and quit walking around like a mental infant, walking around like a mental toddler. Yep, you're growing up physically, but your brain is like 10 years behind. He says, I want you not to be children in understanding. However, in malice and not getting along with others, in not getting what you want, or in the matter of hatred, be babies. Hate like a baby. Why? Because babies don't hate. Babies don't hate. They don't have that capacity. But in understanding, be mature. Next slide. In the law. Oh, this is so important. Now, listen, everybody. We get to the place where Paul tells us why God gave the gift of foreign languages. Why? In the law, in Isaiah, it is written, with men of other tongues, with men of other languages, in other dialects, other lips means dialects, like other languages. I will speak to this people. Which people, everybody? Who's he talking about? I'm going to send people with foreign languages to this people. Who is he talking about? His people, Israel. Hey, Israel, haven't been obeying me. I'm sending people that are going to talk to you in other languages. I'm sending them your way to punish you. And yet, for all that, they will not hear me. God, you can send them all day long. We don't care. We're going to do what we want to do. We don't care what you say. For all that, they won't hear me. Listen, I'm going to send foreigners. I'm going to send them to sweep down and drag you out of your houses, and they're going to take all your gold and silver, and they're going to keep the gold and silver, and they're going to put you in their prison. They're going to make you their slaves. Yes, got there. Make you their slaves. You get the idea. The people weren't listening to Isaiah. They weren't listening to Ezekiel. They weren't listening to Jeremiah. They weren't listening to Daniel. And so they were punished by these foreigners. Now watch this. Next slide. Therefore, foreign languages, just like God sent the Babylonians in, the Assyrians in. Assyrians in 722 BC. Babylonians 606 BC. Swept through Israel. Therefore, tongues, foreign languages, are for a sign. Okay, it's a sign. It's pointing you in a certain direction. They're for a sign, not to those who are saved, not to those who believe. Tongues, foreign languages, are a sign to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Okay? Now, tongues were given by God to the early church, so if a foreigner came in to the congregation and a Christian began using this gift of foreign languages, let's say that foreigner was someone who was Jewish, but they spoke a different language, and they came in, and then they heard this person speaking in their language, they would say, that Corinthian is speaking in a language that's from a country 1,000 miles away, my language. And they should say, that's a sign. Because Isaiah said, go back one slide, Robert. Isaiah said, with men of other tongues and other lips, I'm going to speak to Israelites. See, the people in Israel who were unbelievers, they should have heard about the church. They, maybe by going to the church or hearing it through the grapevine, that Jewish people are speaking, and Gentiles as well, like in Corinth, they're speaking in foreign languages. That should be a sign that, hey, listen, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Do you know why the Bible says, whether there be prophecies, they will fail? Whether there be tongues, they shall cease? because they weren't needed after 70 AD, everybody. Because what happened to the nation of Israel in 70 AD? It was judged. It was no longer a political entity. It was no longer a place that had a king and had a worship and had a temple. They were scattered. Tongues will cease. Foreign languages ceased in the matter of spiritual gifting. God didn't need it anymore because the sign that it was pointing, the judgment it was pointing to, had gone away. This verse right here, everyone, is the only verse in the Bible, the only verse in the Bible that gives us God's purpose for speaking in foreign languages. Wow. That's very interesting. Okay, next slide, Brother Robert. Okay, next slide. Therefore, okay, knowing this now, tongues are a sign gift. Miracles, sign gift. Prophecy, sign gift. Those were all signs. The gifts of healing, they were signs. Hey, why did God all of a sudden out of the blue let Jesus start doing things that people hadn't done in hundreds of years? Why? Because it was a sign to Israel that the Messiah is there. Healing, raising people from the dead. Okay, therefore, Paul says, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with foreign languages, and there comes in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you're out of your mind? Okay, next slide. But if all prophesy, if they're actually hearing it in their language and they're getting it, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all, by everybody. Everybody who's talking to him. Next slide. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Okay, well, let's wrap it up here now. We've got a few more to go. So let's do these very quickly. Number 12. Everyone should not try to do everything in one church service. A lot of different gifted people. Both tongues and prophecies in that day should be limited to two or three. Okay, this was the protocol for the early church. Obviously, these gifts aren't functioning now. But, hey, listen, even in churches, let's say that you go to a church where they are functioning, they should be following this. If they're gonna say those gifts are still in existence, then they should be following the Bible. Not this where you get 20 people up there, hey, I got a word from God, I got a word from God, and they're all wanting to talk, okay? Okay, Robert, go ahead and skip to the next lesson. We're not going to read. You guys can read the scriptures when we get home. We'll kind of just hit the high points here. Okay? Go on to the next lesson. Okay, this is a long one. Paul insists that there be a consistency in the expression of prophecies. If a prophet was about to give a prophecy or a message that was contradictory to one just given by another prophet, he was to stop and consider the fact that what he's about to say may not be of the Spirit. Okay, this is very unusual. But what it was doing, what God is trying to do here is this. He was trying to tell people that had the gift of prophecy. Okay, if somebody prophesied just before you, and you're getting something in your mind that you want to say, that's contradicting what that prophet just said, either that prophet was a false prophet or you're a false prophet, so you better not just start blurting out what's in your brain. You need to stop, look, and listen. You need to stop and you need to say, hey, what that person just said may be of God. Sometimes it's kind of hard to know those things, you know, because it's not obvious. If the prophet's saying, Jesus was not born of a virgin, and Jesus is not God. Well, if the next prophet gets a prophecy, he should say, elders, take that man out and stone him, because that is of the devil. Get him out. Okay, so you get the idea. Okay, next lesson. Okay, now, listen, in our country, there's a lot of feminism, there's a lot of crazy ideologies. Listen, in the Bible, men and women were equal at the foot of the cross. Slaves were equal to people who were free. God leveled all that. God loves women. But listen, when God designs homes, when God designs marriages, God said Adam and Eve are to be married, not Adam and Steve, like we've said many times. Okay? No matter how good it feels to the people, if they're not listening to God, it's not correct. Now, we don't hate them. We don't throw them out in the street. But what we do is we still love, but we still stand for God and for His truth. We do all we can for people. We love people. It says, I think in Romans, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all people. As much as you can. Now, sometimes you can't, because they're throwing shakes and they're throwing rotten eggs. You see that on TV? These Antifa, they're just going crazy and they're hurting people, and these people are bloodied, had brain bleeds. I mean, it's just awful what's going on. But in our day, hey, listen, if I said this in a lot of churches, man, they would take me out and have me stoned. But this is God's truth. And what God said to Paul through Paul was that believing women who had the gift of prophecy, they were prophets, prophetesses. They were given that gift. They were not to seek to prophesy. In our day, we would say they shouldn't seek to teach in the context of the services of the local church. Like you say, hey, Pastor Bob, why don't we ever have a woman speaker during our worship time? And the reason is because the divine order, the divine hierarchy. But that's patriarchal. That's the man, the father, the elder. And you know, I don't like that. I want everybody to be able to speak. I want women to be able to speak and men to be able to speak. Some churches, we want a gay pastor. We want straight pastors and gay pastors. And okay, look, we have to do things God's way. This does not demean women. It's just like in a home. The God said the order in the home is the husband is the head of the wife. Because just like Christ is the head of the church because he's the savior of the body. Jesus isn't saying the husband's the head of the wife because he's smarter and he's cooler and he's more awesome and the woman should just get in submission. That's not what God says. God doesn't say anything like that. He just says, hey, listen. In a society, we need cops. And we need citizens. The citizens, the cops aren't better than the citizens, but we need order. If you don't have police, you've got chaos in a home. A child needs to be raised and looking at mom and dad and say, oh, dad is the head of the house, and mom is his helpmeet. Mom is his companion that God's perfectly made for him. Man, mom, just she just grinds off all those rough edges on dad. Because maybe dad can be like this sometimes, and mom, man, I'm so thankful for mom. Okay, you get the idea. It's not the man is better than the woman. God just knows what's best because he designed everything. He knows that women should be with men, and men should be with women, and not the opposite. He says in the Bible I shouldn't even go there because it gets a little bit too risque, but nonetheless, you know, talks about humans and animals. Okay, God's saying those things because God says if you do them the opposite way, you're heading for pain and you're heading for suffering. Okay, so what Paul was just saying here is this, ladies in Corinth, I know how great you are and how much you love to prophesy, but prophesy when you're in your home and interacting. Okay, next slide, Robert. Or interacting with your family. Okay. Keep going. Okay. The things Paul is saying in this letter, this is the last one. This is the last one and we're done. The things Paul is saying in this letter are God's commands. Prophecy is preferable to speaking in foreign languages, speaking in tongues in the church. And everything is to be orderly. Robert, go to the slide. Keep going ahead here. I think we got to go. Keep going. Go down to verse 39 and 40. Next one, please. Okay. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently in order. And of course, that verse, do not forbid to speak with tongues, people that believe in it today say, see, you're not supposed to forbid. But that was in the context of the early church. Whether there be tongues, they will cease, and they've ceased. And so it's kind of unapplicable now. But this is the last verse, and you know what? He sums it all up. Let all things be done decently and in order. So let me just say this, everybody, before I pray. I want to say, what do we take home? Well, again, we go back to this idea of love. You've got 1 Corinthians 12, spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 14, you've got an Oreo cookie. You got the delicious outside of the Oreo cookie. You could just eat that without even eating the inside. But how much better is it with the inside? And boy, how much better is the Oreo cookie of truth here with that love chapter? Spiritual gifts are so glorious, but without love, they're nothing. Man, you got to have love. Sorry, I'm tripping over my own feet. So that's our takeaway. Our takeaway is, let's do all things decently and in order. Let's glorify God. Let's not one-up one another. Let's not get proud and say, hey, I've got this gift and you've got that gift and I'm better than you. And hey, listen, you know what? I'm not better than any of you. And I want you to know that. I'm no better. I don't look at myself. Now, listen, you know, sometimes we can get full of pride and we can think that way. But I'm just telling you right now, the only reason that I'm standing up higher than you and I'm not down here speaking is because you wouldn't see me if I was down here, first of all. And then secondly, I'm up here because I'm speaking in God's place. And in churches, they always, like some churches, they have the pulpits like 30 feet. I mean, they're like so high. I mean, whoa, man, I mean, you're way up there looking down on, like you're God, man. And you know what? But that's the way, because you are God in the sense that you're in a Christian. Please don't say I'm a heretic. I'm just saying I'm speaking in the place of God. I'm sharing God's word. I am not God, okay? But I'm just saying that in one sense, I'm his vessel. And he is to flow through me. The Spirit of God and the Word of God are to come through me. And so I'm up here. But when it comes down to it, everybody, we're all one in Christ. I'm your brother, and you're my brothers and sisters. And I'm so glad that God tells us these things and makes it that way. Because I love all of you, and I want the best for you. And by the way, two thumbs up. You know what, you guys? You keep coming every week, and I give you the hard things. I tell you hard things. And you know what? You're not sitting there and saying, well, I'm not going to church that next week because he's talking about talking in foreign languages. Too hard. No, you come, and it's difficult, but you know what? Hallelujah. Okay. Now, before we go, we gotta ask for two huge prayer requests, and we're all gonna pray as the people of God, and these are huge. First of all, our newest members, Mary and Lewis. Mary came to me after Bible fellowship, and she said, "Please, Pastor Bob, can you and the entire church pray for me and my family? We desperately need your prayer." She said, "It's not a health issue, but we need your prayers." And I told her, "Oh, of course we will. Of course we will." And then I've got some bad news, but don't take it too hardly, because we got to trust in God, that God's in control. But we got a call this week from our founding pastor, Ben Jordan, who was going to come and speak on the 30th anniversary. And they found out that Ernestine, his dear wife, that she contracted Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And she can barely get out of bed. And so Ben, with, you know, tears and weeping, I mean, he called and he's so sad that he's going to have to take a rain check on being with us on August 4th. But Daniel and Donna Howard are coming. Other people, we're going to have a lot of people. We're going to be getting the word out. We're going to send out mailers this week to former members all over, scattered everywhere. But be praying and we're going to pray for Ben and Ernie this morning as well, but we're also going to pray for Mary and Lewis and their family as well. So we're going to bind our hearts, and we're going to show that love, that 1 Corinthians 13 love. But that it just broke my heart because I know how much Ben was wanting to be with us and to preach. He just loves to preach and to be with all of his old friends. I mean, we go back. You know, Ben Jordan and I, listen to me, when I was 24 years old, listen to me, I'm almost 60. When I was 24, Ben and I did dramatic skits in the youth conferences. He was 34 and I was 24. And man, he was the conductor and I was the apprentice. And man, we got dressed up and put stuff on our face. You know, we smudged them because like we were working in the coal car and stuff. And it was so awesome. And it was such a blessing to be with Ben for those 6 years that I was with him. But, and we would have loved to have been together. But, so what he's going to do is, next week when his videographer comes back, he's going to tape. I told him, hey, if you want to go 5 or 10 minutes, we just want to hear your heart and for you to give us a short word of encouragement. He's got the gift of encouragement, my friends. And I'll guarantee you, if he even just talks for 5 minutes and he's encouraging us as a church for all the days ahead, you're going to leave encouraged by just what he says. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give a shorter message, but it'll be Ben on video. And then I'm going to give a message. So Ben will be with us in a sense. Okay, so they're going to do a nice video for us. So, all right, well, let's do this. Let's all bind our hearts right now in prayer. Where two or more are gathered in the name of Christ, he is in the midst. And our prayers are going to the God whose name is El Elyon, the Most High God, the highest in the universe. And when people desperately need us, then we turn in desperation and faith to our great, great God. So let's bow together in prayer, everyone. We'll pray for these families. Father in heaven, as your people, we're so thankful for this opportunity. And Lord, you know all of the needs in both of these situations, Lord, with Mary and Lewis Reet, with Ben and Ernestine Jordan. Oh, Lord, we love them. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we just come to your throne and thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're interceding to the Father on our behalf. But we come to you, O Father, and we commit them to you, and we commit these circumstances. And Lord, just like the psalmists did over and over, unto you, O Lord, I will lift up my prayer, and I will look up. O Lord, let your face shine upon these couples, on these families. Cause your face to shine and they will be delivered. Oh Lord, cause your face to shine toward them that they might have deliverance. Ernie, from physical pain, and the Reeds, Lord, from a different kind of pain. But Lord, we just ask for your power and your might to come to the rescue. And we pray this as your people in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, everyone.